This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Every year they've done their best to put a product on the field. I feel like this year we had an opportunity with getting Tuck, building up the bullpen, some really good pieces that were added to the group to put us in a really good spot. And I think from a lineup standpoint, just having Tuck in the middle of that, wherever it ends up being, is going to help us all out.
It's Ian Happ talking a little bit about some of the things that have made the Cubs so far. It's Spiegel and Holmes show. A couple things of note tonight. Tune in for the first ever Chicago Sky broadcast right here on The Score. They're going to be taking on the New York Liberty at Wintrust Arena. Layla Rahimi is going to be on color. Kylan Mills is going to be doing play-by-play. And Alyssa Bergamini is going to be on the sidelines. It's going to be awesome. Coverage on The Score starts at 6:45 on The Score and the Odyssey app. And if that's not enough, now how much would you pay? We're going to give you an opportunity to pick up a pair of tickets to see the Simple Minds Alive and Kicking Tour 2025 with special guests Soft Cell and Modern English Friday, June 20th at Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island. Tickets are available at LiveNation.com. When you hear this,
I've got to run away.
B caller 6 to 312-540-0670.
I bet they play the whole song. I bet they don't stop that one mid chorus.
I don't know. You might stop it and let everyone else sing along.
Yeah, that's true.
That happens sometimes.
That's a good move. That's a pro move when the crowd actually takes part.
Yeah.
When they don't, it gets pretty lonely up there.
When you're like, come on, guys.
Come on, who's feeling it?
All right. You got an example? What was one moment, one song where you're like, okay, this is going to be epic crowd reaction and then just nothing?
One time when the REM song, It's the End of the World as We Know It, was going on and it stops and everybody's supposed to scream Leonard Bernstein in the middle of the last verse. I don't know why or where, but the crowd, where we were, but the crowd just didn't know. And it was deathly quiet. It was sad.
Also, we are hearing that there is some significant Cubs news getting ready to come down the pike.
Interesting. Well, that's
it's
good.
Funny because we were having a conversation that was connected to this news, and we were both like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of interesting that there's going to be some extra security bollards around Wrigley Field.
Hmm.
I wonder what that might be for.
Well, keep your ear to the radio this hour, and maybe you'll get some of that. We will see. But Lawrence, a couple of weeks ago, when we had a chance to talk to Carter Hawkins, I had the chance to bring up the GM survey to him where they were not in the top 20, according to The Athletic, as a front office.
Which was surprising.
Agreed. And we had a chance to ask Carter his thoughts on that. And I thought he was really vulnerable and real and self-reflective in an interesting and compelling way. Hey, Carter, did you happen to see the front office survey that was on The Athletic a couple weeks ago? Tyler Kepner surveyed a whole bunch of front office and manager types. Did that make its way to you?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah. And it was because it was kind of jarring to not see the Cubs like in the top 20 of the way that they looked at that, to see the front office there. And I'm wondering, you're having a great moment. Your team is like top two, top three in every power rankings. Like things are going just fine. Thank you very much. And there's what did those voters get things wrong from your perspective?
Look, I have a lot of confidence in our front office, a lot of confidence in the people and the decisions that we're making. But I think a lot of those decisions have lagging impacts. I think you're starting to see some of the impacts of the decisions we made a couple of years ago. But as I looked at that survey, like what reason would somebody have had, right, at this point to say we're in the top five of the front offices, right? Like there's, you know, not anything that, you know, is happening at that point that would say, yeah, like those guys have definitely been one of the top five. I think we have one of the top five. I think as the results of our decisions kind of come to fruition here, that, you know, I would assume that we would get votes in the future. Obviously, that's not what we're solving for. We're solving for winning games for the city of Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I read that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think about the guys up there, you know, my buddies in Cleveland and other organizations. And it's like, yeah, those guys have consistently made decisions that were really good. And those decisions have come to fruition. Ours haven't come to fruition yet, but I think you're starting to see that this year and hopefully into the years in the future.
That's a thoughtful response. Appreciated. Do you feel like as an org, you guys have improved at some things that are the consistent challenges, turning castoffs into bullpen weapons, like that kind of thing? Do you feel like you've gotten better at certain things?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it where the organization was, you know, when Jed took over in 2021, and then I look at it where it was when I walked in the door at the end of 2022, and just thinking about, you know, just our ability to make decisions in the draft, our ability to make decisions internationally, our ability to make decisions on the pro side, our ability to make decisions on the PD side and the process. Yeah, I know, obviously, that's my buzzword, but the process below those, there's been real changes, and those changes obviously take a long time to happen, right? If we make a decision on a different way to assess and sign our international prospects, you know, that might be 10 to 15 years before those guys show up in the big leagues, you know, because a lot of those guys are making deals when they're, you know, 13 years old. So, you know, there's just a long patience that it takes to be a great organization. Those teams that we're getting those votes in that survey you referenced. And, you know, we have that patience from the standpoint of understanding that, you know, things aren't going to happen immediately, but we also have the urgency to make the changes immediately in terms of the process. And we've done that. And I think we're starting to see some of the results.
So, Spiegs, I would understand if Carter said, yeah, we probably don't belong in the top 10. It was hard for me because it's not like the Cubs have been a below 500 team the last couple of seasons. They've been a little bit better than average, like a little bit better than average, which you would think would put them in the top 15 of front offices. So I'm glad that Carter said it the way that he said it. I thought that he said it with both belief in what it is the Cubs are trying to do without being disrespectful to anyone who may have put the Cubs lower than 20 on their list, which is subsequently how they end up there. But I think this season, with the lagging results, some of those lagging results that the Cubs are making are paying off.
Some of them, I think so. I mean, obviously, the pro scouting department trading for Pete Crow Armstrong is paying off.
Trading for Kyle Tucker?
Yes. And it'll be interesting to see how the long-term affects how we look at that. But
the
Tucker,
move of bringing in Seiya Suzuki.
Yeah, bringing in Seiya Suzuki several years ago. How about the pro scouting department trading for Kevin Alcantara, who's in your top five prospects, and you could use to trade now if you want, or could come up and help, things like that. But I realized there's something very tangible that they just did this past offseason that deserves some praise in this regard. And that is the signing of free agent pitchers at like the mid-tier level, the starting pitchers.
Yeah, you can go back to them bringing in Jameson Taillon.
Taillon in multiple years for what looks like a very manageable number. What's Taillon making? 20? Something like that?
16 or
could be
so,
less
but
than
let me
that.
Look.
Well, I wanted to look at just this past offseason because it felt like they did well. So Alex Kuhn made a list. See, he really stepped up and made a list. And we're going to go to that list. And the list is...
Jamison Tyone, $17
million. 17 is a very good number. Because this list right here that I'm looking at is... I read this before the game today.
Right? Yes. This list.
Uh-huh. Let's go to it. Let's go to it. It's exciting. There are 25 free agent starting pitchers, Lawrence, that signed for under $20 million per season this past offseason. 25 starting pitchers.
Okay.
That's a large number of affordable starting pitchers for a wide range of teams to choose from.
Wait, is this early categories?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Just wanted to make sure.
I wouldn't expect you to come up with some of these names.
I wouldn't either.
Mike Soroka, Trevor Williams. You know, there's some bad names on here. Charlie Morton signed for a lot. He's not even in the rotation in Baltimore anymore.
That thing in Baltimore has turned into an absolute disaster.
Kyle Gibson signed for five and change. He's already been cut and signed by a second team. But of these 25, there are seven real hits. Seven of these pitchers, between 17 mil and going all the way down to 1 mil. Seven pitchers who have an ERA under 3.5. Okay, and a minimum of seven starts at this point in the year.
Okay,
so I just looked at those two lines of demarcation.
Yeah, 50 games in.
Yeah, so there are only seven pitchers, and here they are. One is Nick Pivetta, who signed with the Padres and has a 2.86 and nine starts. One is Tomoyuki Sugano, who signed with the Orioles, is a 3.07 and 10 starts. One is Clay Holmes, a 3.13 and 10 starts.
My cousin's doing well.
Mm-hmm. One is Andrew Haney of the Pirates, a 2.91 and 10 starts. Another is Griffin Canning of the Mets, a 2.47 and 9 starts. And then there are two Cubs. Colin Ray with a 2.38 ERA and 7 starts. And Matthew Boyd with a 2.98 ERA and 9 starts. So of the seven real hits in these free agent pitchers for a win now team, they hit on two of the seven. And both those guys have an ERA under three. That's pretty amazing. That's a really good point of success for this past particular offseason.
Let's talk about these two guys, Spiegs. What do you think has made... Let's start with Boyd. And we on this show have like personal affection for that guy and his story. The story's great. The pitching has been even better so far for Matthew Boyd. So why is he having success?
Boyd doesn't walk anybody. He's 23 strikeouts and no walks in his last three starts. He's got one of the top 15 strikeout to walk ratios in all of baseball. And that fastball is good enough. That's for sure. And then there's Colin Ray, who is a fascinating one. He was on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine the other day. I want to make sure people heard this because Matthew Boyd told us why he chose the Cubs. Colin Ray told Bruce and David on Saturday morning why he came here and chose the Cubs and why he thinks it's working with the Cubs because they've clearly helped both these two guys to succeed.
Some players that I played with here in the past, being Chicago, being close to home as well, and then just them, you know, Collins calling me and being completely honest and what my role was going to be coming into spring training, you know, how, you know, I would have a chance to start, but also kind of bounce back and forth between the bullpen, just giving me a heads up on that, you know, shooting me straight with all that stuff, you know, it's kind of what every player wants, in my opinion. So I think there's, you know, a lot of factors, but also the Cubs were just like kind of the most consistent and persistent. I think it's as an organization, just bringing the right people in. There are people with the right mindset, just a willingness to get better and, you know, every single day and add to their pitch mix and, you know, willing to try new things. And I think that's why Tommy's so good. You know, the success that he's had here with both starting pitchers and relievers, you know, they just have such great ideas and things that'll help you and their attention to detail, you know, every single day, whether it's like before catch, like different drills that they're giving us or telling us to throw a certain pitch at a higher percentage. I think it's one thing to say it, but then having these guys that are willing to have the open mind to be able to go out and try it and see if it works. And, you know, I think it speaks to the guys that they bring in here. It's just a good mix that we have.
So that's Colin Ray on Inside the Clubhouse. Again, of the 25 starting pitchers that signed for under 20 mil, there are seven hits in terms of the stats, and two of them are Cubs. Another two of them are Mets. So you're in the category with David Stearns of the Mets with Griffin Canning and Clay Holmes. So a good category to be in.
Speaking of Inside the Clubhouse, the host of Inside the Clubhouse is Bruce Levine. He now joins us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Bruce, thanks for joining us. It was an interesting story that was put out earlier today about security bollards and security around Wrigley Field being stepped up. What's the reason behind that?
Well, our breaking news is that the Chicago Cubs will be named the recipient of the 2027 All-Star Game after what you talked about, Lawrence, here happening. And that is the final thing that the Chicago Cubs needed to do for Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball security is to get these concrete bollards, which are going to cost the Cubs, the city of Chicago, and the state of Illinois $30 million to put up to be able to be the host and have a secure, what Major League Baseball and their security feels as a secure ballpark for an event like the All-Star Game.
Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Well, that's pretty exciting, Bruce. The All-Star Game at Wrigley Field in 2027, according to our Bruce Levine. When a ballpark is renovated, oftentimes the owners, especially if it's in a sizable market, if the owners have put in a lot of their own money, which the Cubs did, the owners get rewarded with an All-Star Game. We've seen that play out around the league. Is this something that would have happened earlier had the security issue not been in place, perhaps?
No question. Maybe 10 years ago.
Wow.
You know, when we're talking about, you know, this thing getting done, when was the final part? Was it 2018, 19, when Wrigley was finally rehabbed totally and the $1 billion was used to do that with the Ricketts family? I think it was right around there. But the reality is that they've been having this discussion all along. But it also took Mayor Johnson to go ahead and push this forward. So the partnership between Mayor Johnson and the city and the Chicago Cubs is a great one, and it's a little different than it was when the last two mayors were there. It was, you know, they were supportive, but not to the point where Mayor Johnson is, and obviously the governor has stepped up as well. So the $30 million is proposed, and it hopefully will be pushed through. It was proposed by Alderman Bennett Lawson of the 44th Ward, and as soon as that's up, you know, again, Major League Baseball likes to award the All-Star Games 2 years in advance. So this summer, we will hear that the Cubs are going to get the 2027 All-Star Games sometime around the All-Star Game or a little bit before. So people should understand that this is the news. They're getting it. They haven't gotten it officially on the record yet. So we'll let Major League Baseball do that sometime this summer. But the news is a great one for the Chicago guys, because it can mean anywhere from $250 to $300 million in revenue by hosting the All-Star Game and All-Star Week here in Chicago. And that is something that I know the mayor is looking forward to as well.
So the 1060 project to restore Wrigley Field began in 2014, was announced officially complete in November of 2019. So that is a five-year project, and this announcement comes almost 6 years after the completion of it. Yeah, that All-Star Week, Lawrence, that means Home Run Derby's here, and there's like a whole festival, a traveling festival that comes along with the All-Star Game.
There is also the concern that there is no All-Star Game in 2027.
Right. So that's a great interesting thing that you bring up, and I asked that question to some of my sources, and they do not have the answer of whether or not if 2027 is canceled like we've been hearing because of a possible lockout strike, where that game would go. Would it go automatically to 2028? But again, as I told you before, they would like to give the All-Star Game 2 years in advance for cities. So next summer, the 2028 game would want to be awarded, but coming up after next summer is December 1st, when the contract between the Players Association and Major League Baseball ends and a new CBA will begin, hopefully before that, but we know better, don't we? Because that never happens.
What a nightmare news cycle that's going to be, Bruce. And it's like I could hear them saying, we're not going to announce a 2028 All-Star game just yet. We're going to wait on that until we start talking about the CBA. That's too bad. But trying to figure out, so are we looking at, because we've seen the temporary bollards that are there, the stuff that they have
right.
that raises up on Waveland and on mm-hmm. Sheffield. Are we also talking about Addison and Clark
yes.
being cut off in full?
So Clark is not being talked about because it's considered wide enough. But according to Fran Spielman, who broke the story about the bollards today in the Sun-Times, Addison Street will be widened. Now, if you've driven down Addison next to the ballpark, there's not much space to widen. So I don't necessarily know how that's going to be done because, you know, when they added the new casino in there, some space was eaten up, sidewalk space was eaten up. So I don't know how that'll be done, but that's a part of the plan to putting, as well as putting in the new bollards. That's a part of it.
This is really interesting. We appreciate you bringing it to us, Bruce, and giving us the first crack at this information. While we've been discussing this, we were having a discussion before you jumped on that we wanted your opinion on, if you don't mind. We were talking about the front office of the Cubs and some of the moves that they've made. And there was that survey that had the Cubs not in the top 20 of teams in front offices, and they were Carter was very magnanimous when he came on the Score and talked a little bit about it. Two of the moves Spiegs highlighted, and that's Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray. You've seen these guys interact with everyone in the organization. You've seen them pitch. What type of lift have those two guys given this organization this year?
Well, tremendous, because you know, again, you guys know this because you have people like myself, and you guys are in those clubhouses as well. They bring a tremendous amount of professionalism and support from the other places they've been. And that's all that is a part of Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins. But never think that it's not Craig Counsell and his imprint on the front office as well. They have included Craig Counsell in on all of these things in the winter time, and Colin Ray coming here was directly connected to his relationship with Craig Counsell. So those are the type of people, you know, you bring in, you know, great players, outstanding players, but also really good players like these pitchers, and their makeup makes you have just a little bit better type of situation. I'll just allude to one more thing before you guys let me go, and that is, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong talked a lot about, you know, Justin Turner and his impact on him as far as in-game advice one day a week ago that, hey, you have three hits, but don't quit now, okay? Keep your focus. You know, you need to have that focus each and every at bat, and he wanted to let us in the media know how essential guys like Turner are to the team and how important they are as far as their makeup and what they bring, hopefully with the things they bring on the field as well.
Bruce, thanks so much for the breaking news. We appreciate it. The Cubs will host the 2027 All-Star Game, according to our guy, Bruce Levine. It's awesome stuff. We need to take a break. When we come back, Adam Hoge is going to talk Bears with us next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What'd you think?
Well, I was going to ask you the amount of agitation you saw today. Is that typical Ben Johnson, or is that just early growing pains with what's going on?
You saw agitation today? Yeah. No, I thought that was normal. So I'll work to get my body language under control. I'm talking about that with the players, so I need to do a better job myself.
I'm on it.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That was Ben Johnson answering Adam Hoge's question about the way he reacts to things inside of practice. And it's, if you're listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show, it's not a surprise to you. And we'll talk with Adam Hoge about that. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hoger, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We had Lomas Brown on the show a few weeks ago, and one of the things that he left us with was, you better get ready for Ben Johnson practices, because Ben Johnson practices are no joke. You're going to see a level of intensity that you're not used to seeing. Now that you've had a chance to experience it, what did you take away from it?
I mean, I loved it, guys. It seems silly that we were ever even like wondering when we were talking about Ben Johnson for months, right back in the fall, when we knew the Bears were looking for a new head coach. And like, will this guy be able to command a room? Because that already seems like it's a silly question. I think he's answered that one emphatically. And it's funny because so technically yesterday's practice was like the third practice I had seen, if you're including rookie minicamp. But rookie minicamp a couple weekends ago, I could barely find Ben Johnson on the field. Like that wasn't a real practice compared to what this was yesterday. And really, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, the first couple practices that they've really had as a team, the third phase of the offseason program, when you could actually get out there with helmets on and run a practice. And it was honestly fun to watch. I mean, Lawrence, you've been out there many times watching Bears practices over the years, and it was a level of intensity I had not seen. Now, it's only one practice, but based certainly as you guys brought up here to start this segment, like, we've sort of heard rumblings of this, and now to see it with my own eyes, it was pretty entertaining.
How about the involvement of the assistants, some high-profile assistants and some others who we've gotten to learn and know about, but, you know, it's got to be an extension, and it's got to be a unified group. Do you see any interaction that you liked in that way?
Yeah, let me give you guys some examples, because I think it's a great question, Spiegs. So for one thing I found interesting was that during the individual period of practice, the defense on the defensive half of the field, because remember they were inside the Walter Payton Center yesterday, so a little bit limited space because they're all operating on one field. But on the defensive half, they actually had every single position group rotated through what I'll just call, because everybody will understand this, the peanut punch drill. So Al Harris, being the DB's coach, not surprisingly running, you know, a drill where someone's holding the ball, the other teammate comes in and punches it out. But, you know, when they started that with the defensive backs, oh, that makes sense. Like, they should be doing that, especially here in Chicago. But then they had the linebackers do it. Then they had the defensive line do it. And as they rotated, they were working with Al Harris the entire time, who's the DB's coach. I don't know that I've seen that before, so I thought that that was interesting. At this point, Eric Bieniemy's been the same guy in every practice, including rookie minicamp, where he's just on those guys. And we're going to have to get used to that the entire time. It is entertaining to watch because, for whatever reasons, the running backs end up right in front of the media where they have a stand. Those guys are I think they're already used to that part of it. And then I thought Dennis Allen. So a lot of times you'll see the defensive coordinator stand on the So if, let's say they're in team offense versus defense, the defense coordinator will be on the defensive side of the field. He was actually on the offensive side. I don't know if that's just because he's used to being over there from his time of being a head coach, but he, Ben Johnson, and Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator, were all pretty close to each other for most of practice, and you could kind of see them interacting. And I like that because, let's not forget, yes, Dennis Allen's here because he's a good defensive coordinator in this league and very highly qualified, but he also has that head coaching experience. So I think everybody thinks he can be a sounding board for Ben Johnson too. So kind of having those guys in the same vicinity, I thought was interesting as well.
Watching how all of this stuff is playing out is a lot of fun as we get to know a coach. And I know that you've been through this multiple times of getting to know the new coach and see what they're about and trying to read the tea leaves between now and when games actually start. So we're not going to hold you to any of the thoughts that you have at this point in the season because we're not in the season yet. What did you think of the Seth Wickersham piece and Ben Johnson's reaction to it?
Well, I liked how Ben handled it. Didn't even wait for a question, just attacked it head on. I think rightly stacked it in the order of things he needed to address in an opening statement after a practice. And then he knew follow-ups were going to come. And, I mean, he handled each one. I like that he admitted that he had a conversation with Caleb about it, because that shows you that they're not dismissing it completely, which, I mean, nor should they. But the right message, too, is, look, I wasn't here when that happened. I'm just here really because look at it. Ben Johnson's here to change all this. We all know the narratives. We all know the history of the Chicago Bears and the struggles, not just at quarterback, but in a lot of different areas. And the whole point of Ben being here is to fix a number of different things, but especially the quarterback position. And Grody had a great question, you know, bringing up the idea that apparently Carl Williams brought up pre-draft, which is, you know, I don't necessarily want my son going to the place where quarterbacks go to die. I think every father out there can understand that thinking. But Ben Johnson says, I love it. And he wants to change that narrative. So I don't know that a coach could have handled all that better than he did yesterday. And I think that's got to give you a lot of confidence for how he might handle conflicts in the future. Because I bring this up almost every day on our shows, we're still in the honeymoon phase. And we don't truly know these coaches until they've lost three games in a row, at least. And sometimes it's more than that. Unfortunately, it has been under the past head coaches. And then all of a sudden, you know, Matt Eberflus's glow up last year and the new haircut and everything and the fade didn't matter once that Hail Mary happened. And then the true colors start to come out. And the same thing kind of happened under Matt Nagy. So we don't know all that yet. We'll find out. But based on what I saw yesterday, him handling kind of his first true test in terms of any type of drama, I think he passed it with flying colors.
Yeah, you know, the vibes are good. Our belief in him as a communicator and a leader is in a really good spot. And then we'll see how it plays out when things arise. Schematically, do you have a sense of what the ask of Caleb Williams is going to be that will be different than what the asks of Jared Goff were, because the skill sets are different and the experience is different. The eyes and the knowledge is different.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and they're very different. I mean, one, it would be silly to think that Caleb Williams especially this fast, two practices in, would be anywhere near the same universe of Jared Goff in terms of understanding what's supposed to happen or understanding what he's looking at pre-snap. And I imagine that in some respects that at least contributed to the level of agitation that Ben Johnson kind of had in practice yesterday. And that's going to be an adjustment for him too, understanding that there's just no world in which at any point this year, Caleb Williams will have the experience of Jared Goff. On the other hand, Caleb Williams has an immense amount of talent and certainly has mobility that Jared Goff does not. So how Ben Johnson utilizes that, I'm fascinated to see. At this point, way too early for me to know the answer to that. I will tell you the thing that I'm probably fixated on the most beyond just what I see from Caleb kind of handling things pre-snap and what he's looking at, and perhaps like what Drew Dahlman's pointing out at center. I think his level of intelligence and experience in this league will greatly help Caleb Williams. But beyond that, more simplistically, this ask of him to go under center more is super interesting to me, because that's definitely an area that Ben Johnson really liked Jared Goff operating. And I am a believer, and I think Ben Johnson believes that in general, play action works better when you're under center. Now there's drawbacks to it, putting your back to the defense, and some quarterbacks are just never as comfortable under center, especially when they've been operating shotgun as much as Caleb Williams has over the years. He's done some of it, but this does seem to be a big ask for him. I'm almost surprised that they're going to push him into it as much as they seemingly are. And I think we're going to see some growing pains there, especially in the summer and probably in the training camp. So that adjustment and how quick Caleb takes it or doesn't take it will be a huge, it'll determine a lot of how much they actually use that once we get to the regular season.
What are you hearing as far as his preparation for this?
Well, I mean, I know that it's regardless of what Ben Johnson wanted, I know it's something that Caleb Williams wanted to get better at and more comfortable with. So I think when you just think of a to-do list that any athletes, and especially a football player, is going to go into an offseason with, like, hey, I want to get better at this, this, and this, that had to be somewhere on that list. So that's the good thing. I think there's buy-in from Caleb Williams to get better under center. But that's different than what the execution ends up actually being. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm creating too much doubt about this. We've all been through, like even yesterday, I almost had to roll my eyes when all of a sudden we're having a conversation about now his left foot's forward again. And it's like, we did this with Justin Fields. We did this with Mitch Trubisky. Like, I get it. It's true. Left foot forward, quick game. It should help you. But it didn't really make a difference in the pass with the pass quarterbacks. It doesn't mean it's going to make a difference. Won't make a difference with Caleb Williams. But we just end up in these cycles all the time. And I think we all sort of feel that fatigue a little bit, that it's just like, okay, whatever it is, whatever foot, whatever your under center shotgun, can we just see some more success regardless? And I do believe Ben Johnson, I think he has ideally what he wants to do, but also a limit to what he's going to force these players to do if they're not really comfortable doing it. And that is an extremely important thing in the NFL, because I've seen way too many coaches come through Hallis Hall and try to force guys to do stuff they're not good at. And they both end up, both players and coaches end up outside this building very, very fast.
Adam, give us a couple things that the coaches really need to learn between now and training camp. Like things they can utilize their time with during the OTAs and the mini camp between now and training camp to learn.
That the coaches need to learn?
Yep.
Well, I think the number one thing is they need to learn what they have in these players, which is kind of what we've been talking about here specifically with Caleb. But, you know, one of the things about coaching, maybe the most important thing about coaching, is understanding that every single player you're dealing with, really, no matter what level you're coaching, takes coaching differently. And so, you know, I think you have to have what you believe in, but you also have to learn that how to get that message through to every single player differently. Now, certainly there's a limit. If a guy's just not going to take coaching at some point, you say goodbye, you know, you put them on, you cut them and you move on. That certainly happens a lot. But understanding what they have here, even like an example, like yesterday, guys, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but Cole Kmet sort of getting lit up by Ben Johnson in the moment. Like that's not him going after a rookie. That's going after, you know, one of your vets, one of your team captains who's on a second contract. If you're on that practice field and you don't notice that, I mean, you better, because that's kind of sending a whole message to the team when you do that. So pushing those buttons, understanding what they can do, what they can't do, I think is probably the most important thing. And then, you know, I don't want to ever make anything too much about the media, but I do think that there is a balance too. Anytime these coaches come to Chicago, depending on where and what markets they've been coaching them before, you do kind of have to learn that this is a different animal. This is not Detroit. If you're Ben Johnson, you know, Eric Bieniemy has been in other markets, but Kansas City's not quite Chicago. So there's like a little bit of that you have to figure out. Certainly for Dennis Allen, Chicago's very different than New Orleans, where they only have like a few people covering the team. So I think that's part of that too, before we get into the season, because everything in this town, as we know, is super analyzed, just like we're doing here on this interview right now.
You better believe it. Hoger, as always, we appreciate you. Check out Adam Hoge on CHGO. He does an incredible job of covering the Bears and the Hoge and Johns podcast. He's one of the most popular in the city. There's no doubt about that. Be well, sir.
Appreciate you guys. Always love talking football with you.
That is Adam Hoge. When we come back, someone might be engaged. We'll talk about who next on The Score.
Congrats, Lions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We cook it with hot grease now, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
In this book, The Art of Winning, there were several times where
you know, Jordan read some of the chapters and it was like, oh man, this is pretty technical here. This is a little, do the average fans understand this?
Yeah.
And I kind of reread it. It's a business book, you know, it's a business book. So I reread it and made some adjustments. And so it was some really good input there to try to make it more of a flowing book toward, you know, business. And it's not a technical book. That wasn't the idea. I stay focused on football and some of the other opportunities that come along. You know, Jordan looks at those and can dig into them a little bit deeper. But really, what she does helps me spend my time on football, and that's what's important to me.
Okay, that's Bill Belichick on the Pivot Podcast talking about his relationship with Jordan Hudson. And Bill has apparently changed the name of his boat. Did you know that, Speegs? That now there's been a change into what's going on with his private aquatic vehicle?
Yeah, it's a really sad situation. What's the new name of the boat there, Lawrence?
One Plus Eight Rings.
Oh, boy. Who would be the one in this particular? You know, here's what's been happening is that it's gotten the genuine old school journalistic treatment from the New York Times. And I have a great deal of respect for Pablo Torre's journalism, but it all came with this youthful, exuberant, and somewhat jocular eye. Right on the podcast, Katie Nolan with great jokes, like all of them, just kind of breaking
Katie
it down.
Was on it, man,
so on it, so funny with all her Patriots history mixed in there. The New York Times piece, it was sad, dude.
It definitely is a contrast to it because that felt like a shunning from a community that Bill Belichick would be in.
It felt like the truth being laid bare about a control freak who has lost control. A guy who meticulously managed everything and is now letting himself be managed and letting his life get to a mess. And it made me think of the phrase that I used about this early on, elder abuse. That story had the feel of a case of elder abuse.
And it was interesting because we did see, no pun intended, the pivot inside of the book tour happened after the disaster and the reaction to the disaster of the CBS Morning interview. Then we saw Bill kind of go back into football coach mode and him doing interviews with ESPN and the ACC Network and him on the Pivot Podcast. And it kind of got back to something similar what we're used to with Bill Belichick. I just hope everyone's happy. And if everyone is compos mentis and everyone is happy, then vaya con Dios, live your life, do your thing. But that thing that you point to and have pointed to is the worry. The worry is those of us of a certain age can look at I mean, Bill Belichick is old enough to be both of our dads, technically.
For sure.
And I think a lot of men of a certain age would kind of go, ooh, don't want that to happen to my dad.
No.
Don't want that to happen to my mom.
Or my grandfather.
Right.
Yeah, but Grandpa might be like, yes, I would like this to happen to me.
Yeah, I very much like for this to happen and keep happening.
Grandpa's cool with that. I'll rename a boat. What the hell? It's my last decade. Shut up. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, someone get some paint and change that name on that damn boat. It's going to be hers anyway.
So the boat name is being looked at as confirmation of the report that they are engaged in some circles. She apparently told at least one person that they are engaged, and now she's got her name on the boat.
Would this make people feel better if they do get Mary, or would it make people feel worse?
Oh man, it's a good question.
We don't have an answer to it, and we don't have to, and that's totally okay.
Okay.
What we do have an answer to is what happened last night at the Garden.
Man, I love this booking. This is a Chicago guy who went to a high school you are familiar with.
Can't keep those HF kids down.
And he is one of the foremost authorities on basketball in Madison Square Garden.
Chris Herring is going to join us to talk about his book, Blood in the Garden, and the blood in the garden last night on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.